Blog Talk Radio.
If you live long enough, something or someone will lead you to have sleepless nights, a warning at work because of a poor job evaluation, a whopping expense unplanned for and no plan for repayment, an argument with an influential person who could ruin your chances for career advancement, a statement you must make on principle that will definitely put you in harm's way in your community. Whatever it is, the only way to navigate these crucial circumstances is to find the inner courage it will take to face the fears in your life. Today, we'll examine the inner workings of courage and why it is so necessary in the face of fear. I'll share my real-life examples of finding courage when all else seems lost, and we'll create a foolproof way to manage life's surprises that will build your confidence and prepare you for the unexpected challenges that are bound to come your way. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. I'm so glad that you're listening today. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. So glad that you're with us on this important show. I've been off the air for a couple of weeks, been traveling. It's been a pretty hectic time period for me, but I am in town for a bit and looking forward to this series. You know, sometimes I try to figure out what kind of shows to have that have relevance and meaning for everybody, not just for me, but certainly for you, the listener. And I know that I have many people who listen after the fact, they tune in after the fact, and they want to have a substantial program that is content heavy, but certainly something that is of value to them. So I've put together a series. I'm not sure if I'm going to have two or three different episodes on this topic, but definitely two. I have the one scoped already next week. But just on this whole topic of courage, and what does it really take to have courage in the face of some of the things that you're dealing with now, whether it's job issues, home-related, or whatever, we want to really, really look at courage and finding the courage that you need to face the circumstances in your particular life. Well, let's start, first of all, with a definition, a basic definition of courage, and I've pulled one up online, and I'm going to read it to you. There are several different takes on this, but the version that comes to mind is the quantity or the quality, pardon me, the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, etc., without fear. So here, fear and courage going hand in hand, one sort of overtaking the other. Another definition that you can have is the heart as the source of emotion. That's another component. You can go on and on. But we understand the trigger points and the importance of courage and its connection with our emotional state of being. It's definitely relevant. What I have learned, and that's why I thought this show was important, is that at my age, I'm 62 years old, I've seen a lot. I have seen more than some, and I've seen less than some. I've also realized a pattern that typically accompanies this whole fear-courage phenomenon that I think is very much at the heart of how, in some ways, you can manage your set of circumstances to mitigate and downplay the fear factor and the reaction that you have to things that happen to you. Now, with that said, I do know that there are some things you have absolutely no control over. You have no control over it. Even if you wanted to control things, you just don't have any control over it. And I said I'm going to use real examples, and you've probably heard me use this before. When my son died almost 19 years ago in June of 1997, the act of his death the circumstances that led up to his death. He was in a single-occupant car accident. He had been drinking at a party. He was a great kid, and he lost control of this vehicle that he was in, and he died very, very soon after the collision. And just the reactions and the life-changing set of circumstances that affected my entire family, we live with today. And there are trigger points that come up. So that is probably the biggest example that I can think of in my life that just was life-altering, just the significance and the importance of that particular death, and then the courage that it took to get up the next morning, and the next morning, and the next morning, and the morning after the funeral, and the morning the next month, and the anniversaries that have happened since then. The courage that it's taken, overcoming the fear and the sadness and the loss. So some of us have those kind of experiences in our lives, whether I'm just looking at things that are taking place in Syria, and today there was a bomb strike that hit a hospital, and this is not the first time, and killed many doctors and patients who were their children as well. Now, to live in that kind of environment takes courage beyond belief. I've never lived in a war-torn area. Yes, I've lived in a city that had riots. Yes, I live in America that has violence that happens everywhere, wherever you happen to be. But to live in a war-torn area where year after year after year you are struggling to stay alive takes just tremendous courage and tremendous faith, overcoming the fears and the realities of things that certainly could happen to you whether you're in a hospital or in a home. So I'm not qualified to give you information about that kind of fear, or people who have lived through genocide or political uprisings that have taken place. That's not something that I have experienced, but you can certainly read accounts and you can read about how people have miraculously stayed alive, and you can see how people have just managed through just all kind of circumstances. I go back and I think about the book 12 Years a Slave that won an Academy Award a few years ago. Excuse me. And that particular individual who lived through that experience, 12 years unfairly as a slave, the brutality was unbelievable, but the amount of courage and strength that it took for him to never give up, and to not succumb to the fear factor was just just amazing. I'm probably going to talk about that book next week, along with another fantastic figure, historical figure, that really faced courage in the face of fear. So those kind of extreme examples that the course of humanity people have to live through are something I have not experienced, but I have experienced other areas and just the little things that really can get in our way. So I wanted to spend some time today, as we talk about the series, to really look at these perspectives. One, having to lift yourself up so that you can actually face your fears. And number two, finding the courage, that energy source, that emotional stamina that it really takes to really move forward. So let's now look at and examine what fear is and what's the, you know, how fear just takes shape in our lives. Another definition you can look at in terms of fear, an unpleasant emotion. Both of these are emotional triggers. An unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous or likely to cause pain or a threat. It is an emotional belief, and there are all kind of acronyms that go with fear as well. It's a belief that something or someone is going to cause harm. Now, maybe something has happened to you in the past where all of these kind of emotions just sort of get aligned themselves and get picked up, and you sort of run with it, you dictate it in terms of how you're going to feel. What I do know, I'm not a psychologist. My daughter is. I haven't done training in this area, but again, I've lived long enough to know that your emotional state of being in many respects will be a predeterminant in terms of your focus and your perspective, not only just on life, but how your day-to-day activities will take place. It is truly a fact. How you are emotionally, your emotional state of mind, and again, we've had two different definitions now, one on courage, one on fear, both using the word emotion. How that emotional plan of action is, or that emotional state of being is, that is, that will determine how far you go, how fast you go, and how you look at just about everything else in life. So I've mentioned to you just about my tragedy in my life with my son passing away, and then 11 months later having my mother to pass away, and just the fear of every phone call that I would get late at night or early in the morning, and the drives that I took between Boston and Detroit, going to see her, knowing that she was in the best possible care that could have been imagined for her. My brother and sister-in-law were in Detroit just doing yeoman's jobs, taking care of her. She was in the best medical facilities in the area. She was receiving the best kind of care possible. But just that fear factor, knowing how she was so emotionally distraught because of her grandson passing away, knowing that this virus and illness and all the other things that took place and the amputation of her leg in January, the diabetes, all of those things just sort of complicating her set of circumstances, and she never got better and ultimately died in May of 1998. Just having all of that just created insurmountable fear, but amazing levels of courage in me as well. So much so, and this is the interesting thing, is that sometimes those emotions, those set of circumstances, those real life difficulties that take place can ultimately create some of the greatest sets of perspectives and mindsets that you can actually have. My vision statement today, the vision statement that I actually live by today, was actually birthed in 1998, in January of 1998. And that vision statement says, Carol Copeland Thomas will capture the essence of the human spirit by delivering messages of hope, interconnection, purpose, courage, and faith to people throughout the world. And that literally came to me in a brainstorm, in a moment of raw fear being confronted by courage during this horrible time with my son having passed away and my mother and her situation. And that vision statement today is what I live by. I literally live by that statement. So things can happen and circumstances can align themselves where if you struggle and confront and work hard enough, then you will ultimately create the frame of mind, the reference point to really move ahead and ultimately find the level of courage that you need to really face very difficult circumstances. So what I want to do is to give you a 6-point plan, and I'll just share some of the other things that I've gone through. 6-point plan that will help you to determine levels of new courage that you need. We live in a tough world. I just mentioned to you about horrible hospital situation in Syria where your innocent lives have been taken, people who have risked their lives to save other people, and they have perished. And just what that means to a whole population of people in terms of just trying to struggle to get from one point to the other. And then my personal set of tragedies that took place almost 20 years ago now with my son passing away and then my mother passing away. But just this powerful vision statement that has just encompassed who I am as a person and as a professional through the years. Well, I want to talk about 6 different points. So number one is the first thing you need to do when you're facing whatever the difficulties you're facing is to acknowledge your problem because it is not going away. Acknowledge the problem. Whether you do it orally, whether you do it mentally, whether you do it in terms of documenting it, it has to be acknowledged. Now, I know for myself, when there's something wrong, in most cases, I know there's something wrong because there's a trigger point that'll go off in my head that will say, you have a problem. There's something going on. And there has to be a level of acknowledgement, because if you can't acknowledge your problems, how in the world are you going to resolve them? And that really talks to number two. Point number two is you have to move from denial to decision-making. Now, this is what happens with a lot of people and circumstances that we either have at work or we have in the community or we have as project leaders or certainly as we have at home. We have a great big elephant in the room. It's a problem. It's a challenge. It is something that definitely requires courage. And we either don't have the mental fortitude or the resilience to realize that you're the one who has to begin chipping away at it so that it will be resolved and let go. So what we do is that we just keep fortifying the fear factor, and we worry. We put the W word in place. We worry. We talk about things, particularly with people who really can't help us, but who may be able to listen to us because they have their own problems, and misery loves company. And so you have this whole cycle. It's almost like the myth of Sisyphus, where that ball is going up the hill. Sisyphus is rolling that ball up the hill, and you get almost to the top, and you just sort of plunge back down, and you go back and forth. You never reach the top. You never have any breakthroughs. You're just sort of stuck between an actual problem that's taking place and the lack of you realizing that you've got to move through denial in order for you to get to decision making. So number one and two are very important. And I have these actually at my website at tellcarol.com under the blog section for today, under this particular blog section. And you can always listen to this show at the blog section at tellcarol.com. So you have this cycle, and I hear people all the time, some people who are just constantly going over the same problems over and over again because for whatever reason they can't give it up, they can't get over it, they can't get through it, or maybe they have walked away from it, but that familiarity of discomfort unfortunately outlies and outweighs that whole area out there, the mysterious area of new challenges and new opportunities that you may be facing. So you come back to the familiar. People do it all the time. And that's really one thing you have to watch so that you don't move back, you don't move forward and then take 25 steps backward. Now, in life, again, a lot of us, with whatever we're doing, it is easy to make a couple of steps in advancement, but then you sort of run back to what is familiar. So being aware that acknowledging your problems and it's not going to go away is number one, but number two is moving from denial to decision-making. I want to share with you why the decision-making is a whole process that has to take place. And I would encourage you to go back to my January podcast now, the radio broadcast, where I talk about vision and mission and really strategically setting up a focus in your life where you will have a real game plan moving forward. This is very closely tied in with that. I don't want to rehash that, but it's very, very closely tied in with it. Number three is to journal your problems to find your solutions. Now, what do I mean by that? I just, and this happens, when you're in business, you have ups and downs. And I've had many ups and downs, many ups and downs financially, customer base wise, product base wise, service, the economy. You take all of that and you combine it, and any kind of ongoing concern will have their ups and downs, and I am definitely one of them. So on a recent occasion, I had one of these down moments where it just wasn't working out the way I thought it was going to work out. It had little to do with the plan that I had put in place in the early part of this year. It had little to do with current activities, which had been outstanding. It was just that gap period that just creates a lot of hyperventilating on my part. And it happens. And this is what happens when those kind of things take place. And this is tied in with number three and number four that I'll give you, is that when that fear factor kicks in because things are just not the way they should be, that emotional component can paralyze you. You're so focused on the problem that you can't get yourself unstuck to move on to what you need to do. So you have this sense of emotional paralysis, and that leads to self-doubt. It leads to self-hatred. It leads to an unfair comparison where you are comparing yourself with all of the successful people who you've known or who you have been connected to in your life or people in your family. And it's like gloom is everywhere because you are just so focused on this challenge that you have. And if you're not careful, this is the real significant thing, and again, everybody probably has this. If you're not careful, the old tapes will click on and they will start playing. Well, you're not good enough. Well, I could have told you were going to fail. You don't have the strength or the stamina. You don't have the intellectual capacity. You don't have the money. You don't have the time. All the you don'ts kick in when this problem takes place. And this is where you've got to really push forward and move through it. Now, one of the ways to do it is number three, is to begin the journal process. Now, I've done shows before, and I'll do them again, on the significance and the importance of journaling, because I really believe when you journal, you have a chance to cathartically get some of that emotion on paper and park it there. And also, you can come back to those journals in later years and really see the patterns that take place. And this is why I think that some of our problems and some of our issues can be anticipated if we are not doing what we should be doing. They can be anticipated. If you don't do A, B is going to happen. If you don't do C, D is going to happen. So it's we have to reengage, we have to reconnect, we have to do documentation so that we can move through the set of circumstances we find ourselves in, if that is appropriate. Now, again, when it comes to severity, war-torn nations and genocide, that's a different skill set that you need just to survive through that. The rest of us, with our daily lives, this is really pretty appropriate. And then number four is you have to, and this is probably the most important thing, whether you're in a war-torn nation, whether you're dealing with genocide, whether you're dealing with your back aching, or whether you're dealing with just trying to get from A to B in your home, you have to expect a breakthrough. I am a living witness with that. I am absolutely a living witness. I am ultimately a very optimistic person. I am more optimistic than pessimistic. You must expect a breakthrough. Now, whether you connect that with your religious beliefs or your spiritual beliefs or your internal beliefs, that is totally up to you. For me, I am a huge woman of faith, huge. My whole life is a faith journey. So for me to put my faith in action, it's a matter of really expecting breakthroughs, things that will happen miraculously, as they have over and over again in my life, to move me through the set of difficulties that I find myself in. So that is probably the most important of the six-step plan that I have here. And then number five is you have to resolve your challenge and prepare for the next one. Now, for those of you who are facing health challenges, I learned last year, and I've talked about this on the show, that I have type 2 diabetes. I am not on medication right now because I immediately changed my lifestyle and changed some of the things that I've been eating. I haven't had any soda pop or canned soda or bottled soda in a year because I drink carbonated water now. Some things I sort of let slip and I push in my diet, and some things I don't. I pretty much eat the same thing for breakfast every day, except when I'm on the road and when I'm traveling. So I have a ways to go. There are things I need to do right now just to sort of get back on track. I need to exercise more. But typically, you have to anticipate, when you know that there's going to be a challenge in front of you because of either your health issues, as I've just mentioned, or some other issues on the job, you have to anticipate and prepare for whatever could happen to you. That's a must. That's a real must. Because there's going to be another challenge right around the corner. It is going to happen. So you have to prepare for it. And then number six is that you have to set up a game plan for proactive living. And that goes back to the steps and the tips that I had talked about in January of this year, that goes with visioning and setting up a mission statement and really having a real game plan for your life, not just for a calendar year, but certainly going forward. But having that kind of approach and developing the mental discipline and the physical discipline to really counteract whatever issues you're facing, that's where the courage component of your emotional life will outstrip the fear that will creep in when you least expect it. One of the old acronyms has been fear is false, evident, appearing, real. Because, again, that definition I read to you early talked about the belief. You believe whatever you're afraid of. And if you can confront that fear and stop believing in whatever could happen, which probably won't happen, half the stuff we're afraid of is not going to happen to us. And that's not to say there's some things you have no control over. But some of the things we just overreach. I think about some of the fears that I have, some of the other fears that people have. I now, thank goodness, thank God, have the capacity to take groups of people halfway around the world with the work that I'm doing, the cultural immersion experience that I am involved in, whether it's in India, now going to Cuba next year, going back to Africa in 2018, just things that were just wild beyond my entire belief system. But developing that courage, the pragmatic approach, the planning process, all of those things taking me into the sphere of where I should be, that was really predicted in that vision statement that was created in January of 1998. I'm hoping this will be an opportunity for you to really examine who you are and examine that courage that is definitely inside of you that will counter the fear every time. And it deals with acknowledging your problem. It's not going to go away. Moving from denial to decision making. Journaling your problems and looking at the patterns that take place. Definitely, positively expecting a breakthrough in the issues that you have and resolving your challenges and preparing for those next challenges that are right around the corner waiting for you. And then that ultimate personal and professional game plan that will make you a proactive person in your life regardless of the circumstances that you have. All of that makes up the important component of when that fear is just sort of knocking at the door, wanting to come in, and wants to stay way too long. Next week we're going to talk about Harriet Tubman, and I'm probably going to talk about that central character in 12 Years a Slave and just look at these individuals who have just amassed the amount of courage that we are now talking about all these years later. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Have a great week or weekend, and we'll be back next week with this second part of Finding Courage series. Take care.